It's time for The Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's The Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston, or AM 1260 WBIX, the business buzz. Well, good morning. And this is a big day around here today because it's also the Irish Festival is coming up over at the Irish Cultural Center. I'm sure we'll hear from those guys just before the end of the show, but that's over in Canton. So if you have the opportunity to get over there, you really need to go check it out today and tomorrow. Great bands, great vendors. A lot of good stuff over there. Why aren't I over there? It's too early in the morning. We'll stay here in the studio. Hey, speaking of good stuff, with us on the phone is Richard Renner from Car ID to talk about kind of getting your car ready for summertime. Richard, good morning and welcome back to the Car Doctor program.
Hey, John, good morning. Pleasure to be back with you.
Well, let's start right from the beginning. Let's talk about the company you work for and what they do.
All right. Well, CarID.com is a one-stop shopping place online for all your automotive parts and accessories. We've got everything from fuel pumps and thermostats for your cars that don't run to all kinds of accessories, especially stuff for pickup trucks, SUVs, everything from floor mats and dash kits to running boards, tonneau covers. A lot of neat stuff, new stuff too, John.
And that's important too, because sometimes you go out, you go shopping for things and you sort of see the same old thing over again, and all of a sudden you find out, maybe you're looking for, tailpipe tips for your car, and you're like, I really don't want chrome. Is there stainless steel? Is there nickel? Is there something else that can work for me?
Sure.
And you guys stay up to date with all the latest and greatest, right?
We've got a great relationship with all the suppliers around the country, around the world, and the website really specializes in our own homebrewed photography and video stuff. So we really give people as much of an in-person experience as you can have on a screen, whether it's your phone or whether it's your PC screen at home.
And that's a good point. I think about 50% of the people now shop on their phone. Never even turn a desktop PC or laptop on, and having the ability to make that stuff look good when you're on your phone makes a real difference too, right?
It does, and it's your point is valid. I mean, more and more people are just doing everything. I mean, they're conducting business on their phones, and you and I know that. Unfortunately, they're using their phones while they're driving down the road too, which we have to recommend against, but.
Well, yeah, and it's I think it's illegal in definitely here in our state, and I think over in your state as well.
In New Jersey,
yeah.
It is.
So.
But there's lots of new stuff. There's great stuff. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about summertime. Summer's going to get here eventually, John. And, more and more people are spending their time out of doors. And I think your audience knows about the sale of SUVs. I think they're up to 65% in this country, the light truck market, as a percentage of total vehicle sales. So it's really exciting for me to see things like car tents, which we sell. So we sell these tent devices that you can put over the bed of your pickup truck or extend out the back of the tailgate of your SUV. And, if you go to a campground, you don't need to tow a trailer anymore. You can set up this tent. You can really make a home away from home right in the back of your truck or SUV. Another thing I'm very excited to see that's out there, if you're the kind of outdoorsy person, this is especially great for tailgaters. Hey, John, no sports questions today, okay?
Okay. All right. I won't say a word about the Red Sox or the Patriots or the Bruins or
Thank you very much. Now, we've got these 12-volt refrigerators and grills. Now, a lot of the new SUVs have a 12-volt accessory outlet at the rear of the vehicle. And instead of carrying around a cooler full of ice that you know is going to melt in a couple of hours, you've got a 12-volt refrigerator that you can buy or a 12-volt grill. That you can run again off your accessory port in the back of your vehicle. Good stuff.
Yeah, that is good, and that makes life a little bit easier. And I kind of like the idea of these of these vehicle tents, whether it's an SUV or a pickup, because you have this sort of living room, but you can use the bed of your truck as sort of your bedroom. So you're a little above the woodland creatures.
So
you don't have to worry about waking up in the middle of the night and going, was that a snake that just went by me? So you're up inside the truck. It just makes it a little bit nicer, I think. So
and like we said, I mean, we see this more and more with people spending a lot of time out of doors, and I think it's good to see people buying SUVs and actually using them in a way, in a capacity that they're capable of doing, going off-road with them, going to campsites with them, worrying less about the weather outside, and really enjoying that outdoor experience.
Yeah. And those tents are a great thing for, for people who like to go to races. You know, so if you're going to stay overnight at a race, all of a sudden now you're not staying at a hotel. Maybe you're staying in the infield of the racetrack. So even nicer for that.
Wonderful thought. I've been to Lime Rock, the track up there in Connecticut, numerous times, and they've got a campground right there. And there's a great place. I mean, you don't have to literally go off into the where you're roughing it. Your point: go to a racetrack like Lime Rock. They've got a specified campground for you, and a car-based tent would be perfect for use in an environment like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I, you know, think about summertime, and like you said, you know, eventually it will become summertime. We're not sure. I think we had one or two days here in the Boston area, and I guess you guys had about three or four days or something.
We had three. I think we had three days.
Then it's back to fall, I think. But, you know, it's time to really get the winter crud out of your car, and maybe it's time to update those floor mats, get the winter mats out, get some nice carpeted mats in, or maybe just the opposite. You're taking out those mats and you're like, hey, I'm going to spend the summer at the beach. Why don't I get mats that I can just shake out and they'll hold the sand and the dirt inside the car and not get the carpet dirty. You guys got a full, you know, full complement of those. But for the do-it-yourselfers too, you have just about everything you need to keep your car well maintained.
Yeah, and back to the mats, John. Say, I've been with Car ID now, it's over 6 years. I have been pleasantly surprised. I've learned this from our own customers. How many people actually own more than one set of floor mats and switch them out from summer to winter? And it's really a great concept, especially for those of us who live near the shore, live near the ocean, where we're going to the beach and use our cars. So many vehicles have all-wheel drive now, four-wheel drive. We're going up into the mountains in the wintertime. We've got a set of winter mats. We've got a set of summer mats, and given the availability of different colors, different materials, these things are priced very favorably. It really makes a lot of sense. I do want to mention, because we're in the Northeast, you talk about getting the crud out of your cars. Not a plug for my company at all, but just good advice as a lifelong Northeaster. Give the underside of your car a really good washing at the end of the winter season. Get all of that salt out. High-pressure water. You can do it at the car wash. You can do it in your driveway. Even with the advanced rust-proofing and protection that new vehicles have, I think you'll agree it's a great idea to give the underside a really heavy spray of water, get all that salt out.
It really is, and it's not even just salt. They're using these crazy chemicals now that are great for keeping the road safe. But I remember it was a few years ago now, we had somebody on from, I didn't even know there was such a thing, the Corrosion Institute, and they're talking about some of these products they're using to keep the road safe, but they're also deteriorating all the rebar and bridges and cement. And, you know, I just think about what that does to your car, and, you know, some of it looks like a salty brine that sticks to the roads, which is good, but it also sticks to the bottom of your car. So you're absolutely right. Getting under there with a strong high pressure garden hose or high pressure at the car wash, wash all that stuff off of there. Try to get it as clean as you can, and then maybe, like you said, they add a lot of advanced rust proofing. But I'm willing to bet somewhere in your catalog of tricks, you probably have some rust proofing materials that you can spray on stuff that you can do yourself, right?
We do, and that's a great point. If you have any chance to get your car up in the air, even if you get it on jack stands so you can crawl underneath it, check underneath to see if there's any damage, maybe an errant boulder, or you scraped up against a parking chalk. So we sell undercoating that comes in a spray can, and you can use it to touch up any areas where the factory undercoating has been damaged. Any little thing like that, especially now given how long people are holding onto their cars, I think the average in the U.S. is 11 years, Anything that you can do to maintain the underside of your car like that is going to help keep that car in good shape. And let's not forget the fact that eventually when you do sell your car, this is going to add to the resale value, whether you're trading it in or whether you're selling it on your own. You're going to get more value back for your investment if you take good care of your car.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Just sometimes a little bit of, and even if you're thinking about, hey, maybe it's a year I'm going to get rid of my car, go out there with some correct products, clean it up, make it look good, maybe buy a set of mats for it, improve the overall quality for it. That sometimes comes back tenfold in what you're going to get back as a trade-in or trying to sell it out on your own.
Absolutely. John, you mentioned something about the roads, and I know down here they're putting down this salty brine. It's almost like liquid salt instead of the rock salt. It's so much more effective at keeping the roads clear, but it's so much more corrosive to our automobiles. I did want to make the point that that stuff is actually quite harmful to your rubber products, and we very often take for granted the tires on our car. And it's a very typical thing as the summer driving season approaches and people are going on, whether it's day trips or whether it's a lengthy week-long drives, we say, yes, check the tire pressures on your car, look at the tread, rotate your tires, don't forget to check your spare. But I really want to make the point, check the age of your tires. Now, by law, all tires have a 4-digit code on them that tells you the year and the week that the tire was manufactured. I'm just personally a big believer in this. Rubber deteriorates over time, especially if you live in the Northeast, you're driving in all different kinds of climates, cold, hot. Again, we talked about the salt. Don't ignore the fact that even if your tire tread is good, that rubber ages. And you take a tire that's now 8, 9, 10 years old, and you're going to go on a week-long trip driving it where the ambient temperature is 90 degrees or above, you're really risking a blowout or something worse. So I really want to advise your audience, pay attention to your tires. Look at the date code. If you don't know how to do that, we can help you figure that out. And certainly the industry recommends, and I do wholeheartedly agree, your tires get to around 8 or 10 years old. It's time to consider changing your tires.
Yeah, it really is. In fact, one of our advertisers, Sullivan Tire, which is a great partner, they posted something today on their Facebook page, and I actually reposted it and said something about, you know, remember, your tires are the only part of your car that ever touches the road, so make sure they're in good shape, because without them, you're not going anywhere. You know, some of the other things, you know, we talk about Car ID as your one-stop shop for everything from, you know, I can buy an engine block, or I can buy a supercharger, but you guys have a full availability of all kinds of tools. In fact, they're not just mechanics tools. You can shop around and buy some tools for around the house, including things like, you know, hammers and circular saws, right?
Yeah, I'm absolutely particularly proud of this section on the website, which I put a lot of effort into. We've got everything from hand tools. I'm really impressed with some of these starter kits or some of these tool kits that are very reasonably priced that are just great to have in the house, John. Just, you know, something when you need to do this little repair on the weekend. We sell that. We've got a whole category on the website that's just devoted to automotive tools. Today, buying an OBD2 scanner is not out of the realm of a do-it-yourselfer who's got a late model car, and maybe the vehicle's got a check engine light, and now you can check these codes yourself. We've got toolboxes, everything from just the small toolbox with a carry handle to the bottom chest and the top box for the budding mechanic who's slowly building up a whole series of tools that he or she wants to have in the garage. So take a look at the tool section. We've got some helpful articles on the website also that will steer you in the right direction and make some recommendations for both those folks starting out with their first tool purchases, as well as the more experienced mechanics who are looking just to add to their collections.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about those kits too, for maybe the young couple that is, you know, just bought their first house or moved into a condo or an apartment where they have to do a little, you know, do it yourself sort of stuff, and you know, maybe the only tool they had up to this point was a screwdriver. Now, you know, now they're going to find there's going to be a few things they're going to need to, you know, when a window doesn't open right or a knob comes loose off of the, you know, stove. All of a sudden now you have a little toolkit. You keep it all in one place. You keep it nice and neat and you're ready to go. One of the other things too, I like, you know, the Jeep population in the Northeast is ridiculous. You guys have a whole section dedicated to Jeep owners.
Yeah, we do. We've got a whole category on the website that's simply called the Jeep Shop. And of course, when we talk Jeep, I think the vehicle that pops into everybody's head is the Wrangler. Last I checked, it's been a while, but the factory was running three shifts, just running 24/7 to keep up with demand on the very popular Wrangler. And we've got everything from front bumpers with winch plates, winches, 35-inch wheels and tires, and lift kits for your suspension, off-road lights, engine modifications, air intake systems. I particularly love the air intake systems for the Jeeps that have the snorkel way above the hood, because we know these Jeep guys and gals love to go fording rivers. It's a game of how deep can we go, and we've got to keep that air intake above the water level.
Yeah, how deep
so
can we go?
The Jeep Shop.
How deep can we go, and how much mud can we accumulate on our vehicle, and then drive around with the mud on it?
Absolutely. It's a badge of honor, John. Come on.
It is. It absolutely is. You know, back to some summer car care tips. We talked about tires. We talked about cleaning the car up, washing off the salt, you know, checking all the vital fluids under the hood. If you can't remember the last time you changed your coolant or changed your oil, it's probably time to do that. What else do you have for some simple tips for maybe the weekend do-it-yourselfer?
Well, you know, when I think about summertime, I really think about, again, all jokes aside about where we live, we're talking to an audience that's in the Northeast, but really for the whole country. We're dealing with warmer and warmer summers, it seems to me, and people don't really take into account how much the heat affects their ability to drive the vehicle. We talked about tires already. Let's talk about brakes for a moment, all right? Brakes work by friction, and brakes work by shedding the heat. You've got to take this momentum of a 4,000 or 5,000-pound vehicle going down the road, and to slow that vehicle down, you've got to transfer that to friction, and it's the pads and rotors on your vehicle that that absorb all that heat and then have to shed that heat off. So it's very simple to say, yeah, check your brake pads and make sure you've got enough pad material there. Take a real good look at your rotors, all right? If those rotors show any sign of scoring or if they're worn down below a minimum thickness, which is relatively simple to check, hey, go to our tool section and buy a pair of vernier calipers or a micrometer to check it. When you're ready to upgrade your brakes, John, think about high-performance brakes, which are not that expensive these days. You can buy a set of performance brake pads and a set of rotors that maybe are drilled for better cooling or slotted for better cooling for not much more money than OE equivalent pads and rotors. And for summertime driving, I think that's a great tip. Check your brakes and consider moving up to maybe a high-performance set of pads and rotors.
That's right. You know, back to the corrosion angle a little bit, if you're somebody who has a car that, you know, maybe you're somebody who all your car is more just the thing that gets you to the train, or maybe your car is just your weekend car, but it sits outside, but you did use it a little bit over the winter, I have seen brake rotors look like they're literally going to rust through because of the stuff that we put on the road, and you drive the car, and you're like, well, the brake pads are still in pretty good shape, but the rotors just have chunks missing out of them because of corrosion. Going to a better quality brake pad and rotor certainly can't hurt, but having brakes that are going to work, that's the important part. You want to, and right. You know, when you have problems, the place you don't want to have problems with is brakes. It's annoying when your car doesn't start. You know, it's deadly when your car doesn't stop.
No, I'm laughing, but that really is a serious point, and that's a great point. And I want to mention brake fluid, because although from what I've seen, car manufacturers have moved away from a regular recommendation to replace the fluid, you and I think, are old enough to talk about stories where the brakes get hot enough and the fluid is old enough that the fluid boils. And what happens when fluid boils, John? We get air bubbles in it, and you get a soft pedal, or you get a non-existent brake pedal. So I like to recommend to family and friends who talk to me to move up to maybe a .4 brake fluid and take a look at the fluid. And it's not that difficult, really, if you can get a friend over to help you pump the brakes, or you can buy a tool to help you do this. But change out the brake fluid on your car, I would say, at least every 3 years or so.
No, it you know, brake fluid, you're right. It gets contaminated. It gets moisture that builds up in it. The moisture ends up causing rust, and the rust can cause all kinds of havoc on the ABS brake system. So now all of a sudden you're literally costing yourself money because of it. So you want to make sure that's done. And I was looking on your website the other day, and I was noticing that a couple of things. One of them was that you guys, when you sell a timing belt set, you sell it as a kit with the water pump in some cases, which makes it a lot easier for people. They know they're going to get the whole kit. And I like the idea of that. I always have mixed feelings about replacing a water pump, but if you have a car that's, you know, got 150,000 miles on it, it's on the second timing belt replacement, and you're like, oh, should I replace the water pump or not? If you're in there, and especially if you're doing the work yourself, you know, spend a little bit extra money and replace that timing belt. And the other thing that I noticed, and, you know, we're up on a second floor looking out into a parking lot, and I can see there's probably half a dozen cars out here with the headlights that are all clouded and faded over. And you guys have kits to clean them, but you also have headlight replacement kits. So if somebody wants to put a new headlight in with clear lenses that are going to be as good as they were when the car was new, you guys have that stuff available too.
Yeah, absolutely. A quick comment. I have to agree with you about the water pump. Sometimes it's the old, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, mantra. Why should I remove a perfectly operating water pump? I love the kits. I love the fact that for the DIY person, we sell it all. It's a one-click purchase. But I just want to make the point that depending upon the vehicle, if it takes a lot of labor, and you made a great point, if you're doing this yourself, if it's a lot of labor to get to your timing belt, you really don't want to face the possibility that 5,000 miles down the road your water pump is leaking. So get that water pump at the same time. You know it's done. You put the job behind you. Regarding the headlights, we got a several-pronged approach. We sell these kits that allow you to polish. You can use just a cordless drill and put a little, like a polishing ball in the end of it, and you can polish out that opaque nonsense that appears on these plastic lenses. I have to be honest with you, for the most part, that's going to be a short-term repair. That's not going to last for a very long time. But it will improve your lights. And again, you talk about brakes needing to stop the car. You need your lights at night to be able to see down the road. So these things are very, very affordable, these kits. If that helps you for a year or so, I highly recommend it. What we really prefer to recommend, and again, it's a DIY job, get a whole new set of headlamp assemblies. Start off with not only clear lenses on the outside, but a lot of these replacement lamp assemblies, John, they've got upgraded bulbs in them. They've got HID bulbs or they've got LED bulbs, and a lot of them have a built-in daytime running lamp, which not only helps you see, but helps you be seen by other drivers, which I think is important.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, studies show that, either driving with headlights on or driving with daytime running lights reduce fatal front-end collisions by like 10 or 12%, so it makes a lot of sense. And the other thing I was noticing, because you guys cover just about everything, and a friend of mine recently bought a 65 Chevrolet Corvair, and he said to me,
wow,
I'm doing some work to it, and I said, well, as a matter of fact, I happen to have a tack dwell meter and a timing light. And he said, and I said, and a carburetor balance tool, because it's got four carburetors on it. And I said, you know what, next time I see you, I'm going to put them all in a bag, and don't throw them away, because who knows, someday maybe I'll want them back. But he said, you know what, I've been trying to buy a timing light for like a week and a half now, and he said every place I go, they kind of look at me and laugh at me because I don't have a timing light. And I just did a quick look at your website. I think you have about 40 different brands available, or 40 different styles.
Yes, we do, and it's a little running joke inside the office. What's a timing light, right? What's a dwell meter? But we're getting more on the website. We're getting more and more into this resto mod business, which, and I'm in the old car hobby as well as being in the new car business, John, and the resto mod part of the old car hobby is absolutely booming. You got guys and gals taking, let's say, a first generation Mustang. By the way, I love those Corvairs, the second gen Corvairs. But you take a Mustang which looks basically stock on the outside. It might be painted in a non-original color, and maybe it's got larger wheels and tires on it. But under hood is a completely modern drivetrain, all right, with a fuel-injected engine. It's got a 5-speed or 6-speed automatic transmission, 4-wheel disc brakes, monoblock calipers, all right, drilled and slotted rotors, high-performance suspension. And these things are just phenomenal. It's really a best of both worlds kind of thing, where you've got the old look, but you've got all this modern technology. But you've got, and I'm really happy to see it, you've got this younger generation coming up, and they're building up these small block Chevys and these small block Fords. In some cases, they're sticking with distributors, and they're sticking with points and condenser, and they need to have access to be able to buy these old tools.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. In fact, I went to my first car show of the season last Saturday night, and just seeing that, it was nice to actually see that everybody who was there didn't, you know, wasn't my age. And there was some, and there was some younger people there, and actually there was a guy that was there with a 32 Ford, nice looking car, kind of chopped down a little bit, but what made it really unique under the hood, instead of what you would expect to see, a small block Chevy or maybe a 289 Ford, he actually had a turbo four-cylinder out of, it was probably out of a T-Bird or something from the 80s. So here's a sleek little four-cylinder engine connected up to what appeared to be a much larger turbo. And you looked at that and you're like, you know, here's somebody who's kind of, they're kind of stuck. They're hooked on the hobby, but they want to do it just a little bit different. And every time I see that sort of stuff, it makes me know that there's still a real serious future for this. I was at a high school the other day, and one of the kids was working on his car, and it was actually a Jeep with a V8 engine in it that came from something else. And what actually made me laugh, though, I looked at the shifter, and he had a ratchet welded to where the shift knob would have been. And I'm like, you know, here's a kid who's having a good time. He's playing around with his car. He's doing some good stuff with it. And companies like yours, all the stuff is available, and it's just, you know, and you can shop at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah. I went to my first car show of the season last Saturday, and I saw a young guy with a 1940 Ford, and he still had the flathead. Ford engine under the hood, and he was smiling from ear to ear. And I, to your point, John, you know, I've been in this business my whole life. Car ID is really reaching out to both the DIY audience as well as the enthusiast audience. This is supposed to be about having fun. You know, whether you need to do a job this coming weekend, or whether you're restoring a car for the love of it, we want you really to enjoy yourself. There can be a little bit of effort involved. You know, maybe you're doing a brake job for the first time. Again, we've got articles on our website to help that person. We're not trying to hold back any information. A lot of that information on our website, you don't need to make a purchase to go to carid.com and scan I think we've got about 250 articles on there, all designed to help you get through the process. But we really want people to enjoy themselves and have fun with their daily driver or have fun with their weekend car.
No, it really makes sense. And again, the website, just that simple, carid.com, and you can find out all of this great information that can help you with your car projects, help you through what sometimes can be a little bit of frustration. Things don't always go as well as you hope. I just had that experience a couple weeks ago. It started off with I had a couple hours to kill one night, and I said, you know, I have no plans. I think I'll do a little bit of work to the car, and it kind of went downhill from there. But at least I was able to complete it, and you know that can happen to just about anybody. But you know, if you have the parts available, you have a little bit of help with videos and articles, and it can make it go a little bit easier. You know, just try not to get in over your head, or make sure you have some help if you do it. And the other thing to keep in mind, and you guys have it as well, make sure you keep safety as a priority. You know, no crawling. No crawling under the car with it sitting up on a jack. Get jack stands, get ramps. You know, make sure you're going to be safe under there. We hate to hear that cry for help with the car off the jack as it's sitting on top of you. So,
Yeah, cannot agree with that more than you just said, John. I mean, safety, and we talk about it in our videos. We talk about it on our website. It's really number one. All right, wear eye protection, tie back long hair or loose jewelry. Better yet, you know, take that jewelry off. Certainly never get under a car that's supported only by a car jack. You got to use ramps or jack stands.
Yeah, absolutely right. Richard, as always, thank you for joining us up here in Boston. And, you know, I don't think it's a day to go to the Jersey Shore, but, you know, maybe.
John, a pleasure to talk to you again. Have a great
summer.
Right.
Take care. Bye-bye. That was Richard Renner from CarID.com. We just went through a half an hour with Richard. He's just nonstop. He's got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about and a lot of stuff on their website. And the funny thing is, a year ago, if you asked me who CarID was, I didn't really know. But in the last little bit of time, I've learned a lot about what they have and the products they have. And yeah, it's sort of a one-stop shop. You want to go buy a DeWalt circular saw? Yeah, you can buy that there too. Let's take a break. Phone lines are open at 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. We'll be right back.
When it comes to your car, AAA is the place for everything automotive. We have services that help our members save every step of the way, from researching and buying a new car to financing, insuring, repairing, and, of course, our world-class roadside assistance available 24/7. The AAA Auto Buying Program is a great tool. AAA members receive guaranteed pricing on new and used vehicles and even save an average of $3,000 on their new car purchase. We even make it easy to pay for your new car by offering low-rate financing. Once your vehicle's on the road, AAA Auto Insurance protects you with excellent coverage and competitive rates. For repairs or maintenance, AAA has an extensive network of approved auto repair facilities. These approved shops offer discounts to members and guarantee their work for 24 months or 24,000 miles. And when you really need help on the road, AAA Roadside Assistance is there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So for everything and anything automotive, go to AAA.com/everythingauto.
Right now at all Sullivan Tire locations, it's our biggest tire sale event of the season. Thousands of popular brand name tires are on sale now. Tires to fit any size vehicle. And you can save $70 instantly on select Goodyear tires. There's no better place in New England for quality tires and top flight auto maintenance than Sullivan Tire. Hurry, this giant tire sale is only on till the end of this month. Find out more at SullivanTire.com.
You won't find a better place to buy tires, and we will not be beat on price. Come in today. Go Sox!
Prepare to be dazzled.
We want you to be a part of the new WROL fan club.
Be a part of special contests, exclusive deals, tickets to concerts, and more.
I guess I'm down with that.
Go to WROLradio.com. Click on the WROL fan club banner and register today. The WROL fan club is sponsored by New England Weight Loss. Call 781-938-9400 or visit NewEnglandWeightLoss.com.
Two thumbs up.
The more our family grew, the smaller our old car got. So we upgraded to a Honda Odyssey. It's from Kelley Blue Book's 2016 Best Value brand and comes with standard features like Bluetooth, so my wife can remind me of all the things I've forgotten to bring home. Ah, the diapers.
Go to www.hondacarsofboston.com or 100 Broadway, Route 99 in Everett, Mass. Call 617-276-1179.
Based on 2016 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit kbb.com for information. See dealer for financing details.
WROL Boston. You're listening to The Car Doctor.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. If you would like to join us, our phone number is 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to us about what's on your mind, about different things. In fact, One of the things, if you picked up the Boston Globe today, you noticed there's a little bit different look of the automotive section. The people that used to do the automotive section have kind of retired from it now, and it's all done by Boston.com. So if you notice, it actually says Boston Globe, Boston.com or something on the automotive section. It's got a new look. My picture's gone. Apparently I'm ugly. No more picture me. But hopefully they keep my column for a while. And also the other part is hopefully they keep all the local writers that we have in this area, Bill Griffith and George Kennedy and Cliff Attia and Nicole Wakelin and Keith Griffin. And there's a whole bunch of local people that write, and hopefully they're going to keep them all around for a little while. And because I think having the local flavor of the automotive section is important. Also, I want to say thank you to Paul Upton. He's a listener to our program, and he invited me out to the Kiwanis Club of Somerville the other day to talk to their group. And I always like doing that kind of stuff. It's kind of funny. If you asked me a bunch of years ago if I was ever going to talk to a group of people or talk on the radio, I'd tell you never. But the Kiwanis was great, and they also one of the things they did, they gave out scholarships to some high school kids from Somerville High. What a lazy group of kids. One of them's going to go to school to become a neurosurgeon. One of them's going to school to be a nurse. One of them likes Somerville High School so much, she's going to school to become a teacher, and she wants to go back to Somerville High School to teach there. There's another kid who was he's going to Mass Art for graphic design. And I was listening to the schools, Salem State, Worcester Polytech, Boston College, UMass Amherst. That guy was going out. That kid was going out to be an electrical or mechanical engineer. Mass Art. But these were not lazy kids by any means. These kids, you know, just when you think the world is over and, you know, the young kids are just going to play video games all day long, these kids were polite. They asked him to say, oh, what are you going to do? And, you know, one of the kids was a little bit nervous, but generally they were very confident. And the idea, this girl said, you know, I liked high school so much. I want to become a teacher. I want to be able to come back and teach in my school. And it was great to see. There was also the auto shop instructor. The Somerville High also has vocational tech programs there too, and the auto shop teacher was there, which made a little bit of pressure for me, you know, having the teacher there was, and also a principal and a former principal, former police chief from Somerville, who's now the police chief down in St. Petersburg. He was up visiting. So it was, so I want to thank Paul for inviting me out for that. So, and if you want me to come and talk to your group, Kiwanis, Rotary, the rest of the animal clubs, Elks, you know, there's a lot of them. The only thing I usually require is a cup of coffee or something. So, and this, we had a great lunch. And I sat with a great group of people. It was kind of nice. There was an older fellow there who owned a Dodge dealership in Somerville for a whole bunch of years. Why don't we go to Paul? Paul?
Hey, let me take you off the speaker. There you go. Yeah, the Kiwanis does a lot of great things. I am still associated with the Milton Kiwanis, and they are just giving out this call. They just did it last week.
Yeah, and it was funny, you know, just, and I mean, really, these were these six kids, and they have a little committee they went through, and just the idea that, you know, none of these kids was like, I don't know what I want to do. These kids had real ideas, and the idea that they even knew not just what they wanted to do in college, but they wanted to know what they were going to do afterwards. So I still haven't figured that out.
Yeah, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up.
Yeah, me either.
I don't, but they do a lot, and I'm going to put your name in the agenda for probably the closing down for the summer, but have you over. Usually it's the neighborhood club in Quincy, and
sure,
it's a dinner. So
wow. Wow. Hey, you know, any day you can get a free lunch or a free dinner is a good day.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, At least it's free on Ukes.
Yeah. You guys have to pay, but
Okay.
In fact, I will let you know. The very first time I ever had to do a public talk was at the neighborhood club, and I was scared to death. It was probably 30 some odd years ago, and my boss was supposed to go out and do it, and he said, "I can't make it. You got to go do it." And I'm like, "You're out of your mind. I'm not going to do this." And what happened was he actually gave me his speech. I read about 3 minutes of it and threw it away and then just started to talk, and I felt a lot better afterwards.
Well, you know, that's, if you know what you're talking about, you know, you don't need a script.
Yeah.
I used to do a little teaching about speech, and, you know, make notes, put them aside, and if you know something, you know, you're more convincing.
Yeah. And the part of it is, what I've always said is, you know, there's always three talks you do. You know, the one you plan to do, the one you did, and the one you wish you did sometimes. But, you know, but you do that, and, yeah, somebody I know who talks on a regular basis always says to me, you know, he always brings some notes, and I say to him, "How come?" And he says, "Well, just in case I get up there and have a stroke or something, at least I have something to follow afterwards." But a lot of times I don't know what I'm going to talk about until I walk in the door, and I kind of start to, you know, chit-chat with some people, and then I get an idea what they're curiosities are, and then I'm off to go.
Yeah, I Officer Jack didn't call about this. Just write down some keywords.
Yep.
And you know that highlights, and it your brain just snaps into whatever you want
yep.
to talk about.
No.
By the way, neighborhood club is 100 years old this year.
Really? Yeah. I'm not yet 100 years old. But
no, well, I'm not in that club either.
Yeah.
You know, but what it called about? Yesterday, I was driving up Route 3 to 93.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, I was behind a 2.5-ton truck, I guess. It mm-hmm. was looked relatively new. And all of a sudden, I thought the thing was on fire. It was belching so much brown. It wasn't black. It was the deep brown, mm-hmm. I guess, diesel smoke.
No, what it was, it's the burn off for the catalytic converter. So what that does, that's when some of these big trucks that run so clean 99% of the time, they have to burn off all the stuff that's in the exhaust. So that's, and they'll do that for, you know, 15 or 20 seconds, burn off, and then they'll run perfectly clean again. And supposedly that stuff that comes out of the tailpipe then is pretty inert. It's just basically dirt.
But what about the people behind you? I got to shut all my vents quickly.
Yeah. Well, the idea is that, and I bet if you notice real close, if you have a good nose, it smelled a little like ammonia.
Everything was shut. Actually, I got off of Furnace Brook, and he was heading into Boston.
Yeah.
It looked like a relatively new truck.
That's what they, that's the normal procedure of how that works. And,
shouldn't they be doing it in their construction parking lot first?
It does it based on a time. So it's how many hours are on the truck, and that's why it has that that add blue additive that additive that goes in there, but occasionally it fires off. And, you know, some seem like they never do it or it never looks dirty. Others, and I don't know enough about how that system works yet. If they look really bad, there may be an additional problem. But that's the normal characteristic of how the catalytic converters burn off the diesel exhaust emissions, especially the oxides of nitrogen, which is why we, you know, now you can leave a diesel run. You know, it used to be every time you saw a diesel running, there was a cloud of black smoke behind it. And now there isn't, and part of it's because of the way the emission systems work.
Okay. You know, but I think it was really a danger because it did create a real fog.
Oh, it was that bad? Oh, okay. Then that one's got a problem.
The fog was about 10 times, well, maybe 5 times larger than the truck.
Oh, okay, yeah. It should for want of a better word, it should burp out some stuff and then...
Wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought the thing was on fire. I mean, it looked like it was having some other problems.
I have to talk to our diesel mechanic at work who knows these vehicles inside and out, because I'm more of a got to have a spark plug kind of guy than a diesel.
I don't have a diesel, but everything was shut, the air conditioner.
Yep. Yeah,
the vent,
yeah.
And I got off the highway. So,
it shouldn't do that. And I know every once in a while I'll I'll see it. But again, it's not usually, it should be just a second at, you know, a second or two, and then that should be it. And it shouldn't be a giant cloud of smoke. It should just be like a little poof, and then that's it.
Well, and while we're on trucks, and I will move on quickly. Traveling down Route 3 south,
mm-hmm.
Particularly if there, I guess, are a lot of small construction companies in Pembroke. You get these huge 2.5-ton trucks, and I guess because it's only two lanes, they're allowed to use the passing lane. And I talked to a state cop once, and you know, he was dead set against it. But apparently, they're allowed to speed along in the passing lane, and they just go, and you don't. I think you're supposed to be over there only to pass.
Yeah,
but you know, it seems pretty dangerous. I mean, these things are just—they're going well over the speed limit.
Yeah,
no one's out there to stop them. But I guess it's at least being there is not illegal. The speed may be something else.
Yeah, there should be. You know, you mentioned like three things they're doing wrong. They're in the passing lane. They're speeding, and they're probably tailgating. So,
Right.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. So. Occasionally they do, you know, the police do enforce it to try to make sure that it doesn't happen. But, everything we have gets delivered by a truck. So trucks are an important part of everything that we do. But it seems like now I see sometimes, you know, pretty good sized trucks, you know, a 20-foot box truck, and it looks like it's being driven like a sports car.
It's in your rearview mirror. It's drilled in your rearview mirror.
So when I look at that kind of stuff, I'm like, you know, everybody's got to share the road together, and you know, sometimes you just have to, you know, come on, guys, just slow it down a little bit, and you know, keep safe.
Just be a little courteous. I mean, if you put your blinker on, you can move over. And sometimes you can't move her over immediately because no one's going to let you in. You know, hey, just back off.
Yeah.
I put my flashes on, so that sometimes it will do it, my emergency flashes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it doesn't. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you are.
All right, thank you, Paul.
I look forward to having you speak at Cornus in the fall.
All right, we'll do.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go over to Mike. Michael?
Yes, sir. Good morning. How are you doing, Carl Doctor?
How are you?
Good, thank you. Just a quick, I was listening to your show earlier, and amazed about how they say SUVs are taking over now. And quick comment, I think A is now the time to buy a hybrid car. And my rationale behind that is that, you know, gasoline is very low right now. And
mm-hmm.
the cartels in Arabia and in Europe and Eastern Europe, we've beaten them. They can't raise the price anymore.
They tried just doing the opposite. They tried lowering it and,
right.
you know, flooding the market
right.
with product. And, you know, that didn't work either.
So here's my prediction in the next 12 months. Is that the guy in the White House, or if he doesn't do it, Charlie Baker will do it, put a dollar a gallon tax on. That's how they're going to balance the budget. You heard it here first.
Well, you know, we tried to support the idea that, you know, raise the gas tax, which hasn't gone up in a long time, and have it tied to inflation, so when inflation goes up, it went up. And we got pretty pummeled on that idea. But we look at, you know, every time I drive by a bridge that's being held up with railroad ties, I always get a little bit concerned, like, you know, how long you know, our roads are starting to look like, you know, some road in a, you know, third world nations with the amount of potholes and brakes. And you know, I think I drove on a section of 495 the other day that had big potholes right in the middle of it. And you're like, well, there should be no excuse for a major highway like this. It should be in good, safe shape, and without a budget to be able to repair that stuff. And that's as political as I'll get. So, you know, I'll let you do the politics.
Well, I mean, my daughter just replaced two springs in the rear of her Mazda 3,
mm-hmm.
broken from potholes. You know, she does a lot of work in the city. But, I mean, because gas, what's regular is now probably on, I guess, 230, 240, something like that.
Yeah.
You put a buck on that, it's 340. It really doesn't today I mean, I wonder how many people it really hurts to drive in big SUVs. I think it hurts the smaller guy, not the bigger guy. But I think that's what's coming. Just heads up to everybody. That's absolutely. So I'm going to go out and look for a hybrid car.
They're priced right.
Well, they're priced right now. If you decided, hey, I like an SUV because I like SUVs, you can buy hybrid SUVs. You know, can go out. You can go buy a RAV4 hybrid that is actually more powerful than the gasoline version. Gets really, really good gas mileage. Or if you want something, a little bit bigger. There's all kinds of choices. So it's not just, you know, I've said this for a long time that in the, you know, turn of the last century, which makes me sound like I'm 150 years old. You know, you could go out and buy a car and it ran on gasoline, diesel, propane, wood chips. And today, you know, batteries. Today, you can kind of do the same thing. You can buy a car that's gasoline. You can buy a gasoline electric hybrid. You can buy a plug-in gasoline electric hybrid. You can buy a straight electric car. So the choices are there. And although I never thought we would ever get to the, you know, CAFE standard 54 point whatever miles per gallon that they were saying we're supposed to do, all of these things do help increase fuel economy. And you know, having a hybrid car that gets great fuel economy and still meets the needs of a person that, you know, somebody likes. This new Hyundai Ioniq is the latest hybrid from Hyundai. It's an awful nice car, and it comes available in standard hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and the plug-in hybrid is almost the same price as the regular one. You plug it in if you want to do that, get a little bit more no gas range out of it. It's a pretty neat little car.
Yeah, I'll take a look. Well, I'll close on one note. You and I come from the same generation. You could set a set of points with a matchbook cover.
Yes, you can.
Right?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. I have set a set of points with a matchbook cover before. Let's talk to our buddy, John from Bay State. Hey, if it's John from Bay State, that means that it really is auto show season, and that means there's a show coming up in Dedham pretty soon.
It sure is, July 9th. And I'm extending you what you just asked for before, the longest running invitation to any event in history.
That's right.
A 40 year invitation
to the show, but it's like I'm there even when I'm not.
Well, I can only promise you wine, women, song, and food, and loads and loads of cars. I don't know what else I have to do to get you there.
Well, and I understand you're having the DJ is cruising with Bruce. Is Bruce usually the guy that's doing your music at the show?
We've had him for the last couple of years, and he seems to be very popular. It's way over my head. I'm kind of from your generation and then some. And he's very popular, and gets quite a crowd out to see him.
Yeah, he's I don't know him. We're sort of friends on Facebook, but he's friends with a couple of my coworkers. And his claim to fame now is that he put a lift in his garage.
Oh, that's good. So, I wish I had one.
Yeah. So all of his car club friends swing by the house whenever they need to do a little bit of tinkering because of his new lift.
Well, I guess the two requisites you're going to have lots of friends is a ramp truck and a drive-in ramp to get on in your garage.
Yeah, you know, the idea of having a lift in your garage is a pretty special thing. And he's got a couple old cars that he likes playing with. And one of these days I was thinking about having him on the show only because I feel like I know him. And he even, I remember when, I think it was, I don't know, one birthday or something, he had a very witty automotive comment on the age I turned. So he was a good guy. So tell us a little bit more. Refresh everybody about the Bay State show.
Well, we have any number of categories. I'm not that prepared this morning.
That's
we have
all right.
about 26 categories of cars of all sizes, shapes, and descriptions. And we give out trophies in each category. plus a few special trophies. If you have a decent car, you've got a decent chance of winning an award.
You know, it's funny. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a millionaire with a car or somebody who's doing it on a budget that's based on, you know, finding soda bottles by the side of the road. You know, you're somebody with a bunch of money that put a bunch of work into their car, and somebody hands you a little trophy for being there. It makes your day as much as the guy who scrimped and saved, put a new coat of paint on his car. So
we have no restrictions either. Anybody with anything is welcome. We don't have any snooty restrictions on which cars can and can't come. Cars, trucks, anything.
Yeah, and if you're thinking about selling a car, you guys got that car corral, right?
Huge car corral. We usually get a couple hundred cars in there.
Yeah, so, and also a little bit of a flea market.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything for everybody, and it's a nice Sunday out.
It is, and it starts early in the morning.
Yeah, we have them lining up 5-6 o'clock. We let them in at 7, just about 7 or so, and we are judging promptly at 3 o'clock so everybody can get out to get home.
Yeah, and if you're coming to watch the show, you might drive up and say, hey, there's really no place to park, but you guys got that all figured out, too.
Yeah, we have off show site parking with bus shuttles, and it's kind of hard to refrain from coming. It's not much of an excuse not to come.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, The couple of times I did show up, you know, the couple of times I did sneak in there, the parking lot where the shuttle bus is, there was some pretty good stuff in the parking lot, too.
I think that's true of most any show. The parking lot is an added...
I don't remember exactly the model because I'm not really a Porsche guy, but it was the one with the V8 in it, and they only made a couple hundred of them or something. And there's a guy who got out and got on the school bus and took a ride over to the show, and you know he just got out of a car that you know probably only 10 people have seen.
Too bad he didn't bring it in. We would have loved to have had him.
Yeah, no, it was pretty amazing, and just some neat stuff there. So yeah, really good, and not outrageously expensive to get in.
No, it's $20 the day of the show for a carload.
Yep,
and if you pre-register before the end of the month, it's $15.
And if I want to walk up and buy a ticket and get in, how much is it?
$5.
How can you go wrong? You know, I was talking to the guy who runs the car show that's on Boston Common the other day.
Oh yeah,
and I'm like
Boston Cup, yeah.
And I'm like it's a nice show, but it's pretty expensive.
And you can't get right up close either.
Yeah.
You're sort of fenced off from it.
Yeah.
But it's still, you see lots of stuff that you never see anywhere. Yeah,
that's right. And one of the things I like about your show and, well, pretty much any car show is that when you go to a car show, if you have an interest in old cars or even newer old cars and you're thinking about buying one, no better way to learn than talk to somebody who already has one.
Yeah, most people are very... glad to talk about cars, especially theirs.
Yep.
And that's okay if it's something you might be interested
in.
We have just about one of everything.
Yep. No, if you, I remember going and, you know, the Ford Skyliner there, the hardtop convertible that goes into the trunk.
Yeah.
I'd probably seen one here or there before. I think I saw four one time I was at your show.
Well, they're very complicated cars.
Yeah.
They have 20-odd motors to move that retractable top in and out. It's tough to fix after 20, 30 years.
Yeah. But for somebody who was going to buy, maybe they have, like one of the cars I've always liked and I'll probably never, ever own it is sort of that 64 to 66 T-Bird convertible. I just like the look of the car. They're a nice car. But if I was going to buy one, I would go, you know, go look at one at a show somewhere, talk to a few people and say, hey, anything I should be looking for? Is there a certain place that they rust? Is there a certain place that they do this? Is there something that I should be looking for? And people are pretty happy with trying to give you information and advice on that.
they're still reasonably placed in that era, as popular as they are.
Yeah.
And now's the time for you to get in on it.
Yeah, and you got a couple of cars of your own, don't you?
A couple, yes. Yeah. I'm slowing down a little. But I've got a few when I put my interest in the show as much as I can.
Have you ever lost count of how many cars you had when somebody says to you?
Well, I'm winnowing them way down now, and I've got a fair count.
A fair count. How many cars did you have at the top of your collection, we'll call it?
Oh, probably a dozen.
Yeah.
Assorted, running, not running, fixed up, to be fixed up, and et cetera, like everybody else.
Like everybody else. Everybody's got a project, and someday you're going to get to it, and someday you're going to have to.
It's funny when you have a dozen cars and nothing runs.
A dozen cars, you got to take a cab to work.
Yeah.
Hey, John, as always, and we'll make sure we promote the show. It's such a good show for everybody.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you again before the show.
All right.
Thank you very
much. Take care, John. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
And remember, our program is brought to you in part by AAA, a place for everything automotive, from researching and financing to insuring to repairing. You'll find top tools, competitive rates, excellent protection, and, of course, reliable 24/7 roadside assistance. Yes, we try to get to everybody within an hour. Yes, we do. In fact, on average, you know, if you count 24 hours a day, it's 36 minutes. So, just so you know. AAA is the expert you can trust. Go to AAA.com/everythingauto or just AAA.com, or go to, the website's getting redone every single day. It's being changed. It's being updated. It's getting better. Before we take the next break, let's talk to Peter real quick. Peter?
Hey, John Paul.
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I always think of John Paul Jones when I talk.
Well, my wife tries to think of John Paul Getty, but there's a big problem with that one.
Yeah, that would be a problem. I got a quick question for you. I just read your article. Your test drive on the Jeep Cherokee.
Okay. Yep.
Trailhawk. But I'm looking for something that gets a little better mileage, and I don't care if it's used or not. A neighbor of mine has one of the old, inline 4-liter Jeeps.
Yep.
Okay. Can you remember offhand approximately? Now, this car, this Jeep of his has about 47,000 miles on it.
Not that bad.
I've test driven it. What I was wondering overall. Given the state of tune and all that, what kind of mileage or miles per gallon do you think overall it could get?
Well, the thing you're going to find is it probably doesn't get the gas mileage you think it should. That little 4-cylinder engine, it's a pretty dependable little engine. It runs pretty well, but I bet that it's not a real efficient little car, which is kind of the problem. So,
yeah, I mean, most of the Jeeps don't get the kind of mileage I would like that. You know, they just don't. They made that 3.7 liter, which I heard. Yeah. I've heard mixed reviews about that.
It's good. It's good and bad. The latest one is that much better. Any idea what year this Jeep is?
Yeah, geez, it was one of the later ones before they discontinued I forget the exact year. Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you the exact year, but you're thinking like on the highway. What do you think the best it might get?
I bet the best you're going to get. And is it a Cherokee?
They're heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one doesn't seem to have all. But anyway, I was going to look it up. I was going to do a little research because I have this thing about I want a vehicle to get at least 24, 25.
I'm willing to bet you're not going to be able to do it.
Okay.
I bet you're going to be somewhere in just maybe 2021. I was trying to actually look it up while we're talking here.
And you think it's a
Liberty or a Cherokee? Let's see what we got.
It's not a Liberty. Liberty's what? They had that 3.7 liter motor. I heard mixed reviews about the reliability of that thing. Overall, I've heard somebody say. That was somebody wanted to sell one, though. And then, but the others have said that's not a good motor.
Yeah. EPA, and I just picked a year, EPA says on most of those somewhere between 15, 20 with an average of 17 or 18. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was afraid. I'm not, you answered my question. I really don't want it. I'm going to check out the Mazda CX-5s. You know, they have a little bit more horsepower. Yeah, they have the 155 and then
The CX-5 is a nice little car, and it kind of fits size wise just right. I mean, even depends on what you're going to do with it. I mean, the Jeep gets crappy mileage because it's designed to have that little extra torque to go off road. Yep. So the gearing is at the disadvantage. Where something like whether it's a CX-5 or a Hyundai Santa Fe or a Toyota RAV4 or a CRV, you're going to get in the low to mid 20s or better, depending on what you have. I mean, my Hyundai is 10 years old, and out on the highway, it gets maybe 24 is about the best it would get. The later ones, they added an extra gear to the transmission that brought the gas mileage up a little bit more, which improved it a little bit. So, they all have their pluses and minuses.
Well, that's not bad at all. 24. Yeah. I mean, for that type of, I read that the Mazda CX-5, it's 25.
Yeah. Yeah. And that
I like. Like that. I could definitely live with that. And I'm not going to be doing a lot of off-road stuff.
So. No. And as long as it's all-wheel drive enough to get you through the snow or you pull off into some sand to get you moving, that's all you want to do. You want better mileage. You want something closer to 30. You're going to have to go a little bit smaller vehicle, like a RAV4 or a CRV, like that.
John, have you ever test driven a CX-5 Mazda?
Yes, I have. I liked it a lot. In fact, it may be my next car.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good to know. I mean, I like that 25, I'm just kind of spoiled with cars that get high mileage, but I could live with 25 very easily.
Well, it's kind of funny now that we replaced, my wife had a PT Cruiser convertible for a bunch of years, and we had to replace it. And that was a car that it was an okay car to drive, but the engine design was just not a design of an engine that got good gas mileage. And the best that thing would ever get, driving it right at the speed limit, nice and steady, I think was maybe 20 miles per gallon. And, replacing it with the Volkswagen convertible we have now, what's kind of interesting about that, if you drive it nice and easy, nice right at the speed limit, according to the computer readout, which is optimistic sometimes, I've actually hit 40 miles per gallon with it, which is 4 miles better than the EPA says you should get. So,
with the top up.
No, both top up and down. Yeah, it doesn't seem to make a whole heck of a lot of difference.
So, now, which model is yours?
Just a Beetle, plain old Beetle, plain old Beetle convertible. Yeah.
What year is that?
That's 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, really? So there you know, go. pretty decent gas mileage and
you want to sell it?
Not yet.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, and by the way, your article, I like that you're direct to the point. Performance was adequate, but never felt like 271 horsepower under the hood.
Well, they cut me to 100 words now, so.
I noticed that.
if you want to write to somebody and complain, you can do that too.
Well, I did like it even more because you get more detail.
Right.
But you got right to the point here with the mileage was mediocre.
What I do is I give them more words than they want me to use, and I hope they edit it down to make it fit. And again, we're trying to figure out what we want, where we change the name a little bit, and they're trying to do something a little bit different. So, we'll wait and see. I haven't jumped up and down yet, so we'll wait and see.
Yeah, well, I enjoy that line about it rides like an ox cart.
You know?
it was like... Well, it was a little bit jerky and jarring over poorly maintained roads.
Well, yeah,
they were nice. You said it was firm.
Yeah. Well, and you know, so far the only well maintained road, they just paved my street, so that's the only well maintained road I can drive on now. So, and my street's
it does ride like an ox cart.
Yeah, my street's pretty short, so I can only.
All
right. Take care, Peter. All right.
I enjoy your articles.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
Right.
Why don't we take another break? Pay some bills. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. If you would like to join us, our phone number is 617-770-3030. We'll be right back.
Get around. I get around.
Yeah. Get around. Round, round.
I get around.
Hello, this is Carol Howley Simmons, General Sales Manager of Salem Media Group Boston. As you know, 2017 is WROL Irish 950's Golden Jubilee, and as we plan our upcoming celebrations, we are feeling nostalgic and think it is only fitting to dance down memory lane with all of you. We would like you to call us at 617-691-2534 and share your memories and stories of what WROL Irish 950 has meant to you over the years. We will record you and then share your words each weekend over the airwaves. Our phone lines are open 24/7, so call us anytime at 617-691-2534. For 50 years, WROL Irish 950 has proudly made history every Irish weekend, right up to this very weekend. Come make it with us.
In the first Passover, the angel of death passed by, and when he saw that blood on the doorposts, he passed over. That's where we get the word Passover, of the firstborn of God's children, and they lived. But in the last Passover, which is the cross, the angel of death will pass over and cannot touch anyone who has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the first Passover, God's people had to offer sacrifices, whether they can afford it or not. But in the last Passover, which is the cross, Jesus paid the full price by his own blood on Calvary. In the first Passover, only the firstborn of God's people was saved. But in the last Passover, which is the cross, everyone who comes to him in repentance and faith will receive eternal life.
Learn more from Dr. Michael Youssef here on Leading the Way and on the web at leadingtheway.org.
Right now at all Sullivan Tire locations, it's our biggest tire sale event of the season. Thousands of popular brand name tires are on sale now. Tires to fit any size vehicle. And you can save $70 instantly on select Goodyear tires. There's no better place in New England for quality tires and top flight auto maintenance than Sullivan Tire. Hurry, this giant tire sale is only on till the end of this month. Find out more at SullivanTire.com.
You won't find a better place to buy tires, and we will not be beat on price. Come in today. Go Sox!
WROL Boston. You're listening to The Car Doctor.
Mustang Sally.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Program on AM 950 WROL, The Spirit of Boston. If you would like to join us, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to us about your car, whatever's on your mind. Let's talk to Tony. Tony, is that you?
Yeah, John Paul, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing very well. You helped me with a problem years ago with a car problem I was having, and I'm hoping you might help me with another one.
All right.
I've got a 2005 Toyota 4Runner, and the VSC track light, the VSC off light, the ABS light, and the little car showing skidding all came on at the same time. And they actually went off one time all at the same time when it was like cold and rainy.
Yeah.
But they came back on, and they've been on ever since. And I don't know what it's called. It actually happened when the car was new years and years ago.
Yeah.
And they said it was something to do with a canister.
Mm.
That was under warranty at that time.
Mm.
But Yeah,
it's probably one of the anti-lock wheel sensors. One of the ABS wheel sensors has gone bad or rusted or something, because all that stuff is all tied in together. Traction control, vehicle stability control, anti-lock brakes, they're all tied in together. And if they all work off the vehicle speed sensor, so at each wheel or at two front and at least one rear, there's like a, it looks like a big gear with a magnet next to it. And what happens is as it goes around, it measures how fast the wheels turn. And when one of those goes bad, two things happens. For instance, when the wheels spin, it knows one wheel's spinning faster than the other, so it applies the brake or slows the throttle down so the wheels don't spin. When you jam on the brakes, it measures the ABS signal off one of the wheel sensors, and vehicle stability control kind of uses all that same stuff together. So chances are there's probably a bad ABS sensor in there somewhere that is just, you know, if you looked at them, you probably find one that's rusted. You might find a broken wire. A lot of times, and I don't know why this is the case, but the right front wire going to one of the ABS sensors breaks off, and it can be a wire. But somebody has to get in there with either a multimeter or an ABS test tool or something to measure the signal from all of the wheels and find out what's going on.
Oh, so they do have a plug-in that'll
well, kind of. But sometimes what you have to do is sometimes you get lucky. You just look at it and go. You can read ABS information through the right kind of scan tool. But sometimes you get lucky. You just look and you go. You get a flashlight on it and you go, oh look, this tone wheel, this thing that looks like a gear, is got a tooth missing out of it, or it's got a big chunk of rust in it, and that's why it's not working. You know, so you can go, oh, that's no wonder why it doesn't work. But it's
but you have to pull the wheels to do that.
Yeah, or at least get it up on a lift to look at it, yeah.
What are you doing?
So it's not going to be an easy thing, but I would start off by going to a shop where they can check for ABS codes, and that's going to give them a direction where to go.
Oh, okay.
Most little code readers, the kind you buy for $30, $40, $50, most of them don't do ABS codes, so.
Yeah, I've got one of those, and it doesn't do the.
Yeah, end. Yeah, some are starting to, but most of them, usually the ones that do ABS codes also will do, you know, airbag codes and transmission codes and things like that, so it's usually a combination of things.
Are most of the smaller shops doing that, so I don't have to go to a dealer?
No, you don't have to. You don't have to go to a dealer. You know, any good repair shop, you know, whether it's a Sullivan Tire or a Junior's Automotive, there's all kinds of good shops now that bought the right tools to be able to do the job. So yeah, it should be easy.
Oh, okay, sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Very
thanks,
much.
Tony. Yep. Bye bye. 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030. Let's go. Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program. Hello?
Yes?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I am that gentleman about the Jeep. I have a Jeep Cherokee. It's a six-cylinder, and it's a 96. It's only got about 42,000 on it. It's really tough on gas. I'm lucky to get anywhere from 11 to 12 miles
ooh,
a gallon.
Ooh.
Off the road, it's got a lot of power.
Yep. No, that six-cylinder Jeep, that's one of those vehicles that, if you were going to pull a little boat up a boat ramp or something, that's the vehicle you want to do it in.
Oh, yes, there's no doubt about it, but on the highway, forget about it.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, if he's looking for gas mileage, he's better off getting a different type of geared car, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. This was on a farm most of the time, and it got a lot of power. So,
no, anyway, it sounds like the perfect vehicle for around town and doing some errands with, and not the vehicle you want to drive to California.
No, no, not at all. Take care.
All right, take care now. Bye-bye. Why don't we take another break, pay some bills, get ready for the Irish Hip Parade coming up before you can imagine.
And
where are they today? They are at the Irish Cultural Center. But why don't we take this quick break? We'll be back in just a couple minutes. My name is John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program.
When it comes to your car, AAA is the place for everything automotive. We have services that help our members save every step of the way, from researching and buying a new car to financing, insuring, repairing, and of course, our world-class roadside assistance available 24/7. The AAA Auto Buying Program is a great tool. AAA members receive guaranteed pricing on new and used vehicles and even save an average of $3,000 on their new car purchase. We even make it easy to pay for your new car by offering low-rate financing. Once your vehicle's on the road, AAA Auto Insurance protects you with excellent coverage and competitive rates. For repairs or maintenance, AAA has an extensive network of approved auto repair facilities. These approved shops offer discounts to members and guarantee their work for 24 months or 24,000 miles. And when you really need help on the road, AAA Roadside Assistance is there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So for everything and anything automotive, go to AAA.com/everythingauto.
Take your faith to another level this year. How? By traveling on an all-inclusive and inspiring journey to the only place in the world where history and innovation unite. Experience Israel this November 1st through the 10th. Come along with General Manager Pat Ryan, Pastor Karen Radwanski, and nationally known teaching pastor Sean Thornton for 9 memorable days. Visit historic places like the Sea of Galilee, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Dead Sea. Be there as the Bible comes to life and experience the sights and sounds of the places you may have only dreamt about seeing. What's more, this year marks a special year for Israel, the 50th anniversary of the City of Jerusalem. Be in the Holy Land to commemorate this significant occasion for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Your dream to visit Israel can be a reality this year. Make plans now to experience Israel, happening November 1st through the 10th. For full cost and trip details and to register today, visit experienceisraeltour.com. That's experienceisraeltour.com.
Right now at all Sullivan Tire locations, it's our biggest tire sale event of the season. Thousands of popular brand name tires are on sale now. Tires to fit any size vehicle. And you can save $70 instantly on select Goodyear tires. There's no better place in New England for quality tires and top flight auto maintenance than Sullivan Tire. Hurry, this giant tire sale is only on till the end of this month. Find out more at SullivanTire.com.
You won't find a better place to buy tires, and we will not be beat on price. Come in today. Go Sox!
The more our family grew, the smaller our old car got. So we upgraded to a Honda Odyssey. It's from Kelley Blue Book's 2016 Best Value brand and comes with standard features like Bluetooth, so my wife can remind me of all the things I've forgotten to bring home. Ah, the diapers.
Go to www.hondacarsofboston.com or 100 Broadway, Route 99 in Everett, Mass. Call 617-276-1179.
Based on 2016 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit kbb.com for information. See dealer for financing details.
WROL Boston. You're listening to The Car Doctor.
Get hip to the style of hip. Yeah, and go take that California trip. I get your hip.
Yeah. And welcome back to the Car Doctor Program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. I got this little list of things you can do for your car. It kind of fits into what Richard was talking about earlier, but it says getting your trusty ride looking luxurious and gleaming, but without spending a lot of money and cash. Here's a to-do list. It says use dish soap, but not on your paint. Use quality dish soap diluted heavily in water. The best interior plastic and glass cleaner you'll ever use. A bottle of name-brand dish soap costs few bucks, amounts to a lifetime supply. That's true. One of the things they say is just remember, don't use dish soap on your exterior paint, since dish soap thinks it'll take the wax off your paint. I've always found it says use some in a bowl of warm water, and I've always found using just the suds work out really well to clean like a cloth interior and cloth carpet, so you're not flooding it with a lot of soapy water. And the one that really got my attention is it says use a foam cannon. I don't know what a foam cannon is, but apparently they spurt out lots of fluffy soap suds. Looks like it'd be fun to use. Spray wax and detailer. I love the Meguiar spray detailer. I use it whenever I wash the car. I wipe it down afterwards with that. An orbital buffer carpet cleaning tool. Yeah, you can get an upholstery attachment for your buffer. Use two pails of water. That always makes sense. One that you wash with and one that you rinse your sponge off in. I've seen some that actually it's a metal rack, plastic rack, I guess. It sits in the bottom of a 5-gallon bucket, so the dirt goes to the bottom. WD-40 is a great wheel polish, according to this. I've used WD-40 for cleaning a lot of, like, industrial equipment. It just makes it look cleaner. Probably the same thing on your wheels. Windshield cleaning lever. So one of those windshield cleaner things, so it's a sponge on a stick, does actually help cleaning the windshield and so forth. And then finally, there's something called M-Zone. It's odor stop, and it... it's one of those things that it kind of eats up all the bad smells in your car. I'm an Osium person. I like Osium. It kind of does the same thing. Or Febreze works pretty good. All good things to use. You know, the studio here is just buzzing all of a sudden. We're getting ready. And you know what? We haven't officially met before. But there is Bobby Brooks. Why don't we have him say hello? We introduce him to my audience. I know he knows everybody else.
Top of the morning, John. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you? You sound like you're going to fit right in with the Irish fellas just fine.
Boy, we are fired up. Talk about baptism by fire. What an Irish weekend we have planned for everyone. It is going to be a great, great day.
It really is. And give us a little background. How'd you end up over here?
Oh, boy. There isn't enough time to tell you the whole story. It's a miracle, really, when it comes right down to it. I've been listening to the show for 30 years and listening to these guys, and the opportunity presented itself. And long story short, here I am kind of living a dream, to be honest with you, John. It's awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like a Johnny Costello story.
Yeah, very, very similar.
Yeah,
very
you similar. Know, he was always listened to the Irish and loved it and just knows the music.
Yeah. Well, I think I just heard
Paul Sullivan. Yeah.
Yeah, they're back there. I mean, no one else can hear them, but we can hear them.
So we can hear them. So yeah. They just can't hear us.
Yeah.
So.
Do you want to connect to them? Back to the Johnny Costello thing.
Yeah.
I'm not as good looking as Johnny. I have a great face for radio. John, you know.
Well, why don't we see whether Paul Sullivan's actually listening? Let's see if Paul Sullivan, is that you wherever you are?
Well, you want to know something? Usually you're far, far away and I'm right there in the studio, but we've kind of switched roles right now. Yes, it's me. Hi, John.
Hey, Paul, how are you? So is it pretty standard for the Irish festival? This is the, and you described it best, and I steal your line all the time. It's like a duck. Looks nice and calm on the surface and pretty frantic under the water.
Well, Leo Sullivan and Danielle Henry are working like the ducks, and I'm just sitting here like the captain of the ship that they're steering through the...
Hey, Captain.
Yep, there. See, Leo's saluting right now.
Wow.
You've been here with me before when...
We just lost him.
We just lost him.
Yeah, well, That's okay, because that's...
I love live radio.
Yeah, live radio is live radio. That sort of stuff happens. So, but, you know, they're going to have a good time over there. Live bands.
There's a little bit of a breeze, but I wouldn't call it a wind. And if it stays like this for the entire length of the day today and tomorrow, Patrick will be very, very happy, and everyone that comes down here will have a glorious time.
No, it's the Irish Cultural Center is a great time. They have the parking all figured out over there. You can park all around the industrial park down there. And it's just a great time for everybody. And I want to wish you and the boys a great time over there. And again, you got Bobby Brooks here running the board for you, a little baptism by fire, as he said, making sure it all works. So, you know, it's going to be a great Irish day.
Everyone that's ever done the job that Bob is beginning to do had a first day, and Bob, you relax, you have fun, you understand that, as my good friend John Paul would say, it is an open heart surgery.
That's right.
No one's going to get hurt.
That's right. It's not open heart surgery. The only thing is keep your coffee cup away from the board.
Exactly.
That's right. I have a saying, Paul, you know, in the end it'll all be okay, and if it's not going to be okay, it's not the end.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right. Okay, I'm gonna let the professionals do their job. We gotta go. Until next week, making sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, and be good to your car. Talk to you all soon. Bye bye.
With my glass and spoon, a small bird sat on an ivy bunch, and the song he sang was the jug of punch. Curl-a-la-la-la.